Hi, I'm Beverly Simpson.
And I'm Nikki Wilson.
And welcome to the Action Made Mamas podcast. Here we inspire women to take massive action in pursuing their dreams,
cultivating deep relationships,
building loving communities,
raising amazing humans, and most of all, becoming their best self.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Action Made Mamas podcast. Oh my gosh, today you are in for a huge treat, especially those of you who have infants, babies, toddlers, who have had a really hard time sleeping. We literally have the baby whisperer on today. Her name is Tamiko Kelly, and she is a child sleep expert. You guys, do you hear what I'm saying? A child sleep expert. She specializes in helping tired mamas feel like themselves again by showing them how to get their babies sleeping through the night. Oh my gosh. You guys, she drops some amazing information on us, and also tells us how we can work with her. And I know so many of you are going to want to work with her at the end of this. She has a couple of different ways you can do that, and it's all linked in the show notes. And you can also find her at Tamiko Kelly, sleepwellwakehappy.com. She's amazing, but I'm going to go ahead and roll into it so you guys can get this information right away. Hey, mamas.
Welcome back to Action Made Mamas podcast. It is super exciting. Episode 2 of season 2. We're just so jazzed to be back.
Y'all, this is so fun. I am so fascinated by our guest today. We're going to get to that in a second. Beverly has been jumping around from one toddler issue to the next, and I'm just here laughing all the way because I'm out of that stage, but I'm here for moral support. So Beverly right now is potty training, and girl, when you have a strong-willed child, we'll talk about this in a minute, but sleeping is an issue.
Oh, pooping, yeah.
Pooping is an issue. Pooping in the potty. It's an issue.
For sure.
You know, little Gwen was here in the summer. I know we laughed about getting in the pool without floaties when you can't swim is an issue because she just went right in the pool. So this today, I'm so excited for all the mamas to hear our expert on today because she is an expert.
On sleeping, which is a gift. So just a quick update from the bedtime battles from the last time that we checked in about Gwenny's sleeping issues. We finally got it handled, thank God. And she's sleeping through the night, not getting out of the bed, but now we're, of course, in a potty training. I don't have a fancy fun word for it, but extravaganza, I'll call it. But anyway, God is so good because literally I was, you know, in this drama with the bedtime battles and then got introduced to our expert today, Tamiko Kelly, which we are super excited to have you. So thank you, Miss Tamiko, for coming and joining us on the podcast today.
Oh my gosh, girls. Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be fun. We're going to help these tired mamas finally get some sleep today.
It really is, Tamiko, like, I love having children. I love my children. After we talk to you today, maybe I'll just have a couple more. I don't know. I'm like Sarah and Abraham. We're like Sarah and Abraham over here. Maybe it is possible. I don't know. But
right, like, I don't know. Maybe.
But always the most daunting thing for me, honestly, truly, about little babies. I mean, and obviously older kids have their own things that you have to work through. It's different. But it's the sleep stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, from baby to toddler to people still come in my room sometimes and say weird things like my toe hurts and I need water and I need medicine on my toe. You know, like it is amazing the things that my five-year-old comes up with. I'm always like, oh, I didn't know another baby would be so nice, but I just don't think I can do sleep stuff again because it's that exhausted feeling, you know, when you're just like, I'm looking ahead to like sleepless nights and I can't operate in my right mind. So,
well, and you know, five-year-olds, they've learned the great art of pulling heartstrings. And so they know exactly what to say, what time to say it, how to blink and flutter their eyelashes, how to rub your arm, how to stroke your hair. Like they just know.
That is what my little Woodsy, she's five, and she literally will like rub my face, like brush my cheek. Like, mother, you're so beautiful.
My 3-year-old has literally figured out a way to make me feel like I'm depriving her of basic needs like water. She'd be like, mama, I'm so thirsty and I just can't and I'm dying over here.
And Beverly's so funny. Like, when you hear Beverly talk to her kid, she's always like, and even my kids picked up on it and they even see Beverly, like they do a Beverly impression. They're like, water is always in abundance here. We live in a society where there's plenty of water. Off to bed.
Oh my gosh. Go night night. It's night night time now. No more talking about water.
From you, how did you get started
in so,
a sleep expert?
I mean, oh my gosh. Such a funny story. So I literally had no idea that sleepless nights were a thing. I was a single girl in San Francisco, didn't have any kids of my own at the top of this podcast. I still don't have any babies yet. And so I just thought that everybody slept. Nobody talked about it. It wasn't a thing. So yeah. I started to be a date night nanny in San Francisco. I had a horrible corporate job that I hated. So I would, you know, go and help moms in my community so that they could actually go hang out with their husband or their wives and have a night without children screaming through our front door at their face, squirting ketchup on their $500 daily rental outfits, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they would come home and they would be like, oh my God, girl, where are the babies? And I'm like, what are you talking about? That child has been asleep since 7:30. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And they were just like, holy shit. What have you done to my baby? And how can we do it again tomorrow night? And so that basically started with one family. I showed one family. Then, of course, you know, once you start getting sleeps, it's like the heels are alive with music. You want to scream it to everybody who will listen to you. So she told everyone else. And literally overnight, I had a business sleep training babies.
That is incredible. I think you need a TV show.
I do. I agree. I co-sign that. Yeah.
Super Nanny?
Say it again.
Did you ever watch Super Nanny?
Oh my gosh, yes. Everybody loves Joe. I mean, Joe, everybody loves her.
You know, and I actually like tried to give Beverly advice me before I had kids. Like, I watched Super Nanny one time and she kept putting them back in the crib, telling them good night. So you need your own show, Tamika.
Amen. Yes. So we're putting that out into the universe. So, you know, TLC, Bravo, who else have reality TV shows? Whoever you are, if you're listening, we're putting the wheels in motion right now. It's happening.
Well, that is so amazing. What is your process? Can you share that with us? Or like, what's the process that you go through with a kid? And sub question, does it depend on a kid's personality? Or is it like blanket statement, this is kind of the steps that you're going to take?
So we definitely don't do one size fit all over here in my camp. So I have a sleep training program. I call it Flyer for short. And the premise and the crux of the program is all about your baby's personality. Because what I have found in all of my years of doing this, I've been doing this for over 10 years now, 50,000 hours is what I've spent, probably more than that now, sleep training babies. And what I've determined is that if your baby falls into one of these four personality types, the approach that you give for sleep training has to be different, or else you're going to be pulling out your hair and cursing baby Jesus. And so my job is, we don't want to curse baby Jesus because he loves us so much. And so we want, you know, to make it super simple and easy for you to get a good night's sleep. And when you lead with a personality, it's like the heavens open and you're like, holy moly, why did I wait so long to do this? Like, my life has been forever changed because of this. Yeah, so personality is critical. I think the main thing, Nikki, is that parents have to be willing to do the work. You cannot dip your pinky toe in this. And Beverly, you can probably speak to this as well. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to try it for 2 hours. And if it doesn't work, oh, well, it just doesn't work. And it's like, girl, no. Like, you did not learn how to ride a bike in 2 hours. It took you time and time again of going outside with your mom or with your dad, getting pushed, falling over, skinning your knee, getting mad, getting back on it, trying it again.
I mean, totally. And I think that's one of the difficult things that I see in parenting. And one of my big stances in parenting, I don't have that many, but one of them was, I don't want my kids to ever sleep in my bed. And no judgment to people that do. I'm just like, I know sleeping with one other person is
enough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough and on its own.
In my face and my back. And I slept with my parents till Lord knows it was way too it was way too long. They were far too kind and far too passive to like push me out. I mean, it was a long time, y'all.
So right.
I'm not gonna live that way. But one of the things that I do see with parents, and I'm not judging because I have my own issues. I have a heater. So that's a whole other thing that I need help with. But sleeping, I do see that a lot of times parents just don't want to commit.
And two, one of the things that I want to ask about this is sometimes, and I've been noticing this a lot because, you know, it's close to me, but people will put out on the Facebook, they'll put out these articles about, oh, co-sleeping's the best. Or they'll say things like, oh, cry it out is damaging to self-esteem. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, so Tamiko, I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, what do you say to the parents that are worried about the crying? Because look, crying is inevitable.
Right.
In sleep training, it's inevitable. It was for me, at least. But we did it a very specific way so that it was not damaging. But how do you, you know, talk to parents about that when they keep getting all those types of messages?
Yeah, well, step one, stop putting out APBs on Facebook for sleep training help. So that's step number one, because literally what's going to happen is you're going to have a mom recommend to you essential oils. Mom tell you to co-sleep. You're going to have another mom tell you to drive around the block 25 times. You got somebody else going to tell you to hop on one leg and bark like a dog. Like literally, like you're going to get all
of that works for me.
Yeah. You're going to get all of the things which are going to do absolutely nothing but make you want to throat punch somebody. So what I want parents who are listening to this to know is that number one, whoever is telling you that it's possible to sleep train a baby without tears is lying to you. So I need you to run in the opposite direction as quickly as your feet will take you, because it's just not realistic. Yeah. That's the first thing.
Totally.
Number two, I'm not advocating for you to leave babies in cribs for hours and hours on end, just screaming bloody murder. I'm not advocating that. I can't speak for anybody else, but for Tamiko, I'm not advocating that. What I advocate for parents is that when you use your little one's personality, the amount of tears will be less because you were using it to your benefit. So a lot of parents think that sleep training is just strictly cried out, that you have to just put them in the room and just walk away. And that's the only way to do it. And I'm just here to tell you that that's just not true. There are abundance of other ways to do it. And you don't have to go against your parenting philosophies in order to, you know, get to sleeping through the night.
Yeah. That's good for people to hear, I think.
Yeah.
It's so important, especially because a lot of those articles too are just like clickbaity articles. So they make you feel bad that if those babies are crying, you're somehow not being a good parent. But, and we all know that parents are just doing the best that they can. Right. We know that. But Facebook is, it's definitely interesting. It's an interesting Wild Wild West internet.
And really, like, that kind of thing, I feel like, is what brings out so many opinions.
Right.
So, you're so right to be like, don't seek the advice of Facebook monster. I mean, only because people are super passionate about their styles.
Right.
Sleep training and whatnot. Tamiko, you mentioned, like, kids' personalities, babies' personalities, do you have a categorized-ish way of like determining their personalities or what kind of babies there are? Do you do that or?
Yeah. So basically on the inside of my program, I walk parents through the four personality types, and I've figured this out. I've named them myself because I'm telling you, I've been doing this a long time and I was able to narrow it down to four personality types. So the first one are our smooth sailors. These are our babies who literally love to watch paint dry. Everything is happy, rainbow sprinkles. They can find the glass half full at all times, even when there's a zombie apocalypse, they're laughing and they're happy. So yeah. Those are our smooth sailors. Awesome. Then we have our thinker babies. And our thinker babies, they love to give people the side eye because they're not sure if they like you or not, if you're worthy of their time, if, you know, if what you have to say is valuable for them. So, you know, our thinker babies are definitely slower to warm up to people. But once they like you, they like you. Like, they're in it to win it.
Those are our six babies.
Yes.
Beverly and I are big into the Enneagram, and she's saying that they're like her type.
The six babies.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I was like, wait, what's happening? Okay, gotcha. So then our other babies are passionate ones. Some moms call them dragons. These are babies who have lots of opinions about a lot of things and will make sure that you hear their opinions even when you don't want to hear it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yes. So these are the babies who get mad if you don't put their socks on correctly. The toddler who wants their, you know, peanut butter and jelly cut the exact same way, the exact same part of their plate, or all hell is going to break loose in pre-K. And so these are our passionate ones. And then we have my favorite, which are, you know, I call them my mirror children because they're just like me, social butterflies. We've never met a stranger. We go to the grocery store, make friends with the checkout girl at Target. We know we know the whole history of the bakery man's family. We know all his kids and what's going on.
That is me.
It's like we go to a party and like where they're like, oh, have you met Beverly? Beverly, do you know Nikki? Like, let me introduce y'all to.
Connectors. We're in it.
We're in it to win it. So my social butterflies, we love being social no matter what time of day it is. So even at 2 o'clock in the morning, if you come in the nursery, we're going to be like, hey, girl, hey, what's going on? What's happening? And so those are my social butterflies.
You've categorized the baby types or the child types. And I think, you know what's funny? I think you've identified one of each of my kids.
I know. I was going to say, I've got the passionate and the thinker. For sure. And they mix between.
One of each of my kids. And then, like, also Beverly. I think your baby apply to.
I love it.
I love that. Okay. So, Tamika, can you maybe then, knowing the personalities, and I love that you've given them
names.
Distinctions. Oh, yeah. That's like my jam, is having distinctions of like characteristics like that. Right. Can you maybe just walk us through a couple of different scenarios with each of the personality types?
Yeah. So if you have a passionate one, AKA a dragon,
dragon baby,
you will notice that your baby, literally, it's like they're playing chicken with you. It doesn't matter what you do. They're going to holler and they're going to keep hollering. And the longer that you let them holler, the worse the hollering is going to get. It's like they start off at like a zero and they get to 100 real quick. And if you don't do something, it's going to be crazy. And maybe, and like with a toddler, maybe you've been at a restaurant before and they're like, I want chicken nuggets. And the restaurant's like, we're a five-star restaurant. We don't make chicken nuggets. So we have chicken strips. And the toddler's like, I want chicken nuggets. And they'll start off real chill. And then it'll get real crazy real quick.
Till they're laying on the ground, rolling.
Right. Kicking, throwing a tantrum in the five-star restaurant in front of everybody. And you're just like, Jesus, cow gone, somebody take me away. So... And so that is So those are my dragons. So my social butterflies, the thing with us is that we love people. So the more you interact with us, the bigger we get. So it's like you take us to a party. We're just like, oh, we're the first ones here. Great. I'm going to hang around the, you know, hang around the buffet table, give me some snacks. Folks walk in, I'm like, hey, girl, how are you? I'm Tamiko, blah, blah, blah. More folks walk in, I'm like, oh, my God. Hey, I'm Tamiko. I met Shirley. Shirley, meet Amber. And I'm just all at the party hanging out. And then when we get home and it's time to go to sleep, we're just like, wait, is the party really over? Like, I really can't talk to anybody else? Like, yeah. It's no more to do? So if you have a baby who's like this, what you will notice is that when you take them to Christmas parties or birthday parties for toddlers, when they come home, they have a lot to talk about because they have to download what just happened mm-hmm. at the party. And it may take us a couple of hours to get that download done, right. Which could be frustrating for you as a parent. You're like, girl, it's 11 o'clock at night. The download is over. Like, yes. The lights are going off. Go to sleep. And so social butterflies, I hear that from a lot of parents that it's very challenging to get them to settle mm-hmm. and go to bed so at true. Night.
That is so true. Okay, you just identified my youngest.
And then...
Game. Well, she's got all those boyfriends, Mama.
Oh my gosh.
Loves all my 12-year-old son's friends, and she'll talk about each of them before bed. She'll talk about each play of her basketball game and like want all the applause for doing the right. It's true. It's like she's downloading all the experience from the day.
Right,
then
exactly.
Telling me all about it in great detail.
In great detail.
And want feedback, too. You know, like, and tell me what you thought about that.
Right. Well, because, like, you have to know what color Suzanne's tutu was, and you have to know how much glitter was used on her butterfly at school. Like, it's critical information that's important.
It's so funny, but you're so right. Like, at the end of the day, that is exactly, she's downloading every piece of information.
Yeah, for sure. And then for my thinkers, you know, thinkers can go either way. We have some thinkers who are literally like, don't touch me, don't talk to me. I'm in my own space. I will talk to you when I am ready to talk to you. Then we have, you know, subset of thinkers who have learned how to pretend like they're not thinkers. And so when they're in, you know, so it's like, you know, introverts is what some people call thinkers. Mm-hmm. They've been trained for so long to not be like that, that they can pretend to be a non-thinker. But in reality, you and I both know that they are 100% thinkers because they just get exhausted. Hanging around people just wears them the F out. They're just like, okay, get me out of this room. It's too many people, too many babies, too much noise, too many dogs, too much something. I just need to be free.
Yes. Right. Like kind of like overstimulated.
Right. Exactly. Like they're like, I need my quiet corner just to reset myself. And then my smooth sailors, like they are the, I call them the get along gang because they can literally get along with any body. They just go with the flow. Nothing bothers them. They're like the turtles from Finding Nemo. They're like, dude, everything's fine. It's perfect. Oh, yeah. It's-
How do I get a smooth sailor?
Right.
I'm telling you. You get a smooth sailor.
Oh my God. It's almost like the luck of the draw, right? You're like.
Do you get to work with smooth sailors often? I mean, because that seems like those babies would be almost easy to sleep train. They just so go with the flow.
So I do. I get to work. I feel like I get to work with the whole gang, like a mixed bag. I don't know if I would want to work with high needs babies exclusively because I also work with families in the home too. So families regularly fly me out to their home and say, girl, your program is great. It sounds fantastic in theory, but I'm not going to do it. So get your butt on this plane and come out here and hang out. And so when you have a baby who a dragon and needs all of your attention, that would be exhausting to do that to only work with those kind of things. So I think it's a joy to be able to have a mixture mm-hmm. to be able to flex back and forth between the different baby personality types.
Yes.
Okay. And it's funny too, because your baby could start off as a passionate one, but grow up to be a smooth sailor. I've actually seen that happen where babies like younger, like they're just like, oh my God, she needs every ounce of my attention. And then she becomes five and it's just like, she's like, hey girl. And everything's mm-hmm. fine again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abby was like that. Once she got over her colic stages, so she was colic and that was just brutal. It was brutal all the time. And then all of a sudden, I called her my dragon baby, essentially. Yeah. But then she became really even. I mean, she's still very strong-willed and like she'll like tell you if that's a no for her.
Right.
But she is very easygoing. I mean, she was a baby I could take on the airplane and no one would know she was on it.
Right.
And I would tell these stories of how she was this, you know, dragon child. And people would be like, that one?
Oh. Right.
But let's talk about your eldest. She's got some problems.
Abby definitely is the more like chill of your two, though. Yeah. She really is. Okay, so Tamiko, walk me through this then. So you're working with parents to get their kids to sleep, and you tell them, listen, this, you have to be committed to this. This is a commitment. Right. It's not going to be an easy road.
Right.
Maybe. I mean, maybe if you have the easygoing child, maybe a little easier. But maybe if you're working with the dragon or somebody who's going to be maybe a little more challenging, what are some of the just best practices that parents can do to see results?
So, Nikki, the first thing is to stop giving options. If you give the baby the option to sleep with you, they're always going to pick sleeping with you. So, we have to close the option library. Be like, nope, we're all done now. So, the only option for you is to sleep either in your crib or in your bed. Like, done, hard stop, we're moving on.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of parents, they kind of waver on this and go back and forth. And that basically what you're doing is that you're making things harder than what it has to be.
Yes.
Sleep training is not hard when you have a clear step-by-step system and plan that will work, which my flyer program totally is. But the worst thing that you can do is to be like, okay, on Monday, we're going to co-sleep. On Tuesday, you're going to be in the bassinet. On Wednesday, you're going to be in the crib. On Thursday, we're going to put you in the floor bed in the corner. And on Friday, we're all just going to stay up all night and watch that. Like, it just, like, we just, like, we can't do that. We have to be consistent and say, you go to sleep in your crib or you go to sleep in your bed. I think just by doing that one, like, making that one decision and sticking to that one decision, you've already increased your odds of success by 90% just by doing that.
Wow. And I love that. Yeah. And I would agree. Like I was saying, for me, I was always just like, you're not coming in my bed. Like, there's no way. No way.
That was a hard no for me too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what's going on. Like, you're barfing. I don't know. Especially if you're barfing, you're not getting my bed. But like, things you feel kind of bad about, I'm like, no, you got to go back to bed. Well, that's actually like a really good tip. It's funny because I feel like that's kind of a no-brainer tip, but it actually is a lot harder for people to do.
I mean, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, just having that commitment of like, no.
I think, I mean, at least for me and also for a lot of the new moms I speak to, there's this element of, you know, feeling like you need to sacrifice everything and that you have to put the baby's needs first and that they devalue their own sleep enough that they won't prioritize it. And for me, I just always go back to the airplane. Look, if that mask comes down, I'm putting the mask on first. I am getting some sleep because otherwise I'm completely useless to my kids if I can't sleep. I lose my temper or not. I just, my fuse is shorter than it is.
It's off when you're back to sleep. I mean, we all have been there. Tamiko, do you feel like, you know, you put that out there to people. Do you feel like you get a lot of, not pushback, but is it hard for people to commit to that? Like, being consistent with like, okay, we're like, there's no options anymore. Like, it's your bed.
Yeah, it is. That's why I made it the first one that we talked about today. Because when parents come to me, that's one of the most common threads and things that I hear is that my kids won't get out of my bed. We start them in the crib and then they start hollering and I bring them in the bed with me. Like they, you know, so it's something I hear a lot. And it also, I just want to, you know, for me personally, any mom who is being made to feel less than by the judgy McJudgersons of the world, I just want to be clear here is that nobody's giving out gold stars for lack of sleep deprivation. Nobody's giving out $1 million to see who can be the most exhausted mom today. Like, there's not a game show called the most exhausted mom where the prize is like $1 million. So let's be real clear here that sleep is necessary. It's not an option. It's not like when you go to the car dealership and like buy a car, you can get it with the window tint or no window tint. No, it's like literally what God created us to do. And so every night that you are not getting 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep, you are literally causing health issues, and which essentially is shortening your life, which is essentially is taking you away from your children. Like, I don't want to be morbid here, but like, that's exactly what's happening here.
No, preach. I mean, and Beverly and I talk about this all the time because, you know, I used to be in the fitness industry. Beverly's in the fitness. And we're like, a lot of times just your health is solely around whether or not you're sleeping.
I have 6 dials in body transformation, and one of them is sleep. We always talk about making sure we get sleep. It's essential.
Right.
Like, sleep is better for you than like changing up your diet. I'm like, you have to be sleeping, people. It is not like you're saying, it's not like, well, maybe one day down the road, I'll up the ante. Like, no, you've got to sleep. You have
to. And of course we all go through seasons, right? There's always going to be seasons, but I think that, you know, we get into situations like I was in where all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh, it's not been a season. It's been 6 months. It's been a year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the mom series to me, it's been like years, like 19 months, 12 months. Like, it's been like just lunacy going on. And I'm just like, okay, we gotta reel in the circus, because at the end of the day, it's like, this is not sustainable. And then, you know, the thing that really gets me is like when moms tell other moms, oh, your baby will fall asleep. She'll sleep through the night whenever she's ready. And I'm like, girl, who in the hell made you like the mayor of Mythical Sleepland, where you can just tell somebody that, oh, it'll happen when she's ready? How do we measure that? Like, how do we know when she's ready? It's been 12 months. And I'm telling you right now, mom was ready. It's been 12 months. Like, it's time.
It's time.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're saying this, girl. This is like good stuff.
So okay. When do you typically start sleep training babies, or when do you recommend parents? I know it varies, but if you... Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have a lot of crunchy moms that are going to start burning bras when I say this, but I regularly work with parents from when the baby's right home from the hospital. And from day one, we give them healthy sleep habits. Nobody's starving babies. Nobody's you know, interrupting, you know, a mom's milk supply. Like, we're not doing any of that. But basically in my opinion, the easiest way to help your baby to sleep is to give them the tools from day one to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, waiting until your baby is 12 months, 18 months, a toddler about to go into pre-K, I just think that that's just, they've had all this time to get these bad habits. And now you're basically having to break these habits, retrain their brain, because their brain has been wired to think, oh, to go to sleep, I have to sleep in the bed with mama and breastfeed all night. Oh, to go to sleep, I have to get in the car with daddy, drive around about 25 times. And I can't go to sleep unless they hold me or rock me about around the house. So like, their brains have literally been connected to think this, and they don't know how to do it without you doing that. And so when you, at an early age, just give them healthy sleep habits. And this is simple as putting them in the crib for sleep. Like, don't bring them in the bed, but get them in the bassinet. It could be in your room, like, but just get them in their own sleep space from day one. That way you don't have to do this whole big hullabaloo when they get older to get them out of your bed and to get them into a crib later on in life. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the internet world wants people to wait until 6-7 months. I mean, I have a different stance on that. I just think it's ridiculous. Parents should be able, in my eyes, in the perfect world, all mothers would go home with help, either a doula, a newborn care specialist like myself. They would go home with somebody like that, or access to someone like that, so that they are not having to grin and bear it the first, you know, half of the first 6 weeks, first 12 weeks of having a baby at home. Like, the honeymoon phase gets over real quick. And when the honeymoon phase is over, this is when we see mothers having disorders with moods and depression and all that, because they literally are like, I haven't slept in 6 weeks. Like, I literally can't do anymore.
Tamiko, I'm so glad that you said that. It just reminds me, I know I've known it for a while, but it reminds me how important your work is, because that is 100% true. And the thing that is so frustrating is that you just don't hear a lot of people talking about it until it's too late, because right. moms don't know what they don't know. I mean, for my story, and I know that I'm a little bit extreme on this, but I literally got the advice, don't Google. I knew absolutely zero. I took it to the extreme. I literally right. knew nothing. I almost like pretended I wasn't pregnant during my pregnancy. Yeah. So I'm literally in the hospital. So everything like lactation consultant, sleep training, anything. I was literally like, I don't know. And I don't even know where to look.
Right.
So it's just exactly. so important.
Yes. Yeah. So stay off Google. That's my advice. Just don't go into the black hole, because Google knows a lot. But the problem with our friend Google, she knows a lot. She didn't know how to organize it for you. And so once you start looking, she's going to open up every door. She's going to call Pandora. She's going to bring over her box. It's going to open up and it's going to feel like the world is going to come to a bloody end. And it's just like you just can't you just can't get caught up in that spider web.
Mm-hmm. Agree. But it's definitely important to just know you have these kinds of resources like you and
right.
on your side.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Tamiko. Okay, so we're committing, like the mom's going to commit. Okay, you're going to bed. There aren't options anymore. You know, start early. What are some other things that can really enhance the like sleeping through the night experience?
Well, I mean, you know, picking a regular bedtime is critical. You know, when I go into parents' homes, typically what I find is that they have babies going down at midnight, 1 in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, what the hell is happening over here? Because this is like the opposite of what should be happening. So you really want to aim for a bedtime between 6 and 8 p.m. And to be quite honest with you, kids need a lot of sleep even through, like they don't flip to sleeping like us until like around high school age. So from birth until high school, they're going to be needing to sleep 10, 12 hours a night. So you need to make sure that they are getting that long stretch of sleep. I'm not even going to go down the road about how early school starts, because I'll get on my soapbox like that and it'll turn into a whole nother conversation, but just know.
Thank you.
Yeah, but just know that the bedtime is between 6 and 8 p.m. And it's not just, oh, if I get between the time, I'm fine. It's like, no, girl. Pick a time between 6 and 8. We'll say 7:30 just for this conversation. And every night, that's when bedtime is. So even on Super Bowl Sunday, even on Christmas Eve, even at Aunt Sally's house, who haven't had a child in 30 years, even when you're at Disney World, Alani, like, it's 7:30. And no, you can't take weekends off. It's 7:30 every single night. Because like the thing with kids is that they don't understand flip-flopping. They only understand what's done in repetition. And so if you're serious about that, you have to be serious about the bedtime.
You know, the truth of the matter is that's true for humans too. The more routine that you can be on a consistent basis, the more successful you're going to be, period.
No, seriously.
No, really. And Beverly is down at 5:30. So that's
it's not true. My kids go to bed at, like, Abby goes to bed at 6:30 and Gwen goes to 7 p.m. consistently. So consistently that I literally, my days start to blur together. I don't even know if it's Saturday or Tuesday.
You're like, what day of the week is it?
Because our kids are so, like, the age range is pretty big. And she'll be like, my kids are going to bed and my kids are like, you know, like, what does she do for like 7 more hours?
Like, what's happening? I don't understand. Like, what do you mean they go to bed at 6:30? Like, what do you do for the rest of the evening? Like, what happens?
I wish y'all would go to bed at 6:30 now. She puts her kids very consistently to bed very early.
Well, I mean, and it's funny that you say that, Nikki, because I mean, honestly, I feel like some moms have like a secret negative consequence thing going on of that, saying, well, if I put my kids down at 6:30, what the hell am I going to do for the rest of the night? And I always say, girl, you're going to live your best damn life. Mm-hmm. And you're going to actually go out with your girlfriends, have a date with your husband, take your wife out for a nice dinner. Yes. You're actually going to be able to call your mom when the sun is up and catch up with her, go to your yoga class.
Enjoy work, you know, whatever it is. I know. It's like it can't be tied to the guilt of it. You know what's really interesting to me? My son was he did not like to take naps during the day. And so I put him down to bed at like 6 every night because he was just miserable at the end of the day. And still to this day, it is so funny. Like, we joke about it all the time. He jokes about it. He's 12, but he puts himself to bed. He puts himself to bed at like 8:30 every night.
Yeah. He's like, good night.
It's like he never got out of that routine. And he's just like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I don't have any reason to stay up late.
Right. I'm not missing anything. The world's not going to end. I can have ice cream tomorrow. Like, it's totally fine.
And that's how I feel best. I mean, he talks about it. So I think it's like just really interesting that it's so true. Like, kids love consistency.
And well, it's funny that you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and the things that I found, what I found too, was that on the nights that, you know, daddy was home. And so we stayed up a little bit late on the nights that we stay up late. I call it past the threshold. Mm-hmm. If we get to like 7:30 or 8 o'clock, they'll wake up at 5.
Right, you're just like, no.
It'll be worse. It's not like they'll all of a sudden just sleep until 9.
He says that. He's like, let's let them stay up a little longer. And I'm like, boy, I will cut you.
You're like, go take several seats.
I'm like, no. He even still to this day, I'm like, no, that it just doesn't work that way. They wake up when they wake up and they're.
I said to my husband, I said, if you want them to sleep in, put them to bed earlier. And he's like, what?
He's
and I
like,
said,
like, what?
Yeah. And I said, no, but I'm telling you, if you put them to bed earlier, then they will literally sleep longer.
Well, and that's just a testament to how much sleep kids need. I think one of the biggest lies moms are being told is that, oh, some babies just don't need a lot of sleep. And I'm like, girl, what baby? What baby doesn't need a lot of sleep? All babies I've met, and I've met thousands of babies, need 10 to 12 hours of sleep each and every night in a row, consecutively. So that is pivotal. And I would even, you know, go as far as to say that if you have a baby who is a dragon, they might be a smooth sailor in a dragon costume because they're not getting enough sleep.
Yeah,
I mean,
good point.
I've seen that so many times working with families. Like, I have moms tell me, oh my God, I've met my baby for the first time, because for the first 12 months, she would scream, holler, and try to choke me out. And now she's like, hi, mama, how are you? So nice to meet you. We can have conversations, and it's just so chill. You know what I'm saying?
I fully agree with that. I had that experience myself. So, that's so true.
Okay. Well, and then I had a last thing, and then we can move on to the next one. I was taking one of my client's kids out, and it was to a birthday party. It was an evening. And it was like, he goes to bed like, you know, around 7:30, and it was like 7 o'clock. And he was like, hey, Miss Tamiko, I'm ready to go to bed. And one mom turned around to me and said, what the hell did you do to him? My kids will never say that to me. Like, what magic are you? Teach me all your secrets. Like, I was.
Ways. I mean, when you think about it, that's how I get when I don't have sleep. I am a wreck. And Beverly. Yeah. Wreck, because Beverly calls me on the days that she doesn't.
And I don't get dragony, but my brain just doesn't function.
It's like a fog. It's like you're like, wait, what's going on? Wait, who am I calling? What am I emailing? I don't understand. Why am I in this room right now? Like, what's happening? So
some people just like children, you know, like some people can handle things a little better, and some people are wrecks.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, I think it's good to like note that for your kid too.
I agree.
Okay, so we talk about committing, options. We talk about a consistent bedtime.
Yes.
What is another magic sprinkle dust that you can give us, Tamiko?
It would be careful who you listen to. Because I think one of the biggest mistakes you can do is to buy 25 books and be a part of 25 books, be in 50 Facebook groups, and get advice from every woman that you know, including your next door neighbor who hasn't had babies in 30 years. So I just think that you have to get your information from one source. I would prefer that source to be me.
I was going to say real.
Yeah. Keep it real. But, you know, get your information from one source and follow what that person tells you to a T. Like, literally, like, for me personally, I've spent 50,000 hours distilling sleep training into six simple steps. There is no reason for you to look anywhere else. Like, it's literally no reason, because I've made all the mistakes that you're probably making right now. I've done all the wrong things that you're probably doing right now. I've worked with some of the most spirited children in my career. So I've literally seen it all. I've worked in houses where the mother-in-law tried to come into the room to derail what the parents were paying for, because she was like, oh, in my day, we didn't do that. I had to escort her out of the room. So I've literally seen everything that you can deal with sleep training the baby. So you literally have nothing to worry about when you get on my team. It's just like, when you listen to one person, it's easier for you to get results, because you're not taking what you heard over here, trying to match it with something from over there, trying to call somebody, you know, on this tab. It's just, you're making your life so much easier, which will then make it super simple for you to get training results, because the goal is for you to get your baby to sleep as quickly as possible. And when you have a system in place, that's the shortcut. Like, people are always like, what's the easiest way? I just gave you the answer right there. That's the easiest way. Follow one person, do what they say. And just to add to that, get your questions answered by them. Get support by that one person.
Such good advice.
Such good advice. 100%.
Yes. Okay, Tomiko, then I would love for you to tell our listeners how they can work with you, like what that process looks like.
Yeah, where can they find you? Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah,
so my website is sleepwellwakehappy.com. On there, you know, you can go to the Work With Me page and you can find out about all about my sleep training program, the Feel Like Yourself Again Baby Sleep Solution. Me and all the cool kids call it Flyer for short. But basically, that's my six-step process to sleep train your baby. Like, it's literally, I call it paint by numbers for sleep training. Like, it's super simple to do. For those moms who are like, girl, that sounds great, however, comma, I need to teach you to come over here and fix it. Like, right now, I do offer in-home sleep coaching, and you can just drop me a note on my website, and we can talk about it further.
You call that the sleep party?
Yep, summer party. Yep, the summer party.
Yeah. It's like basically super nanny coming in.
Yeah.
Yes. And,
you know, and like doing the slumber party, guess what it is? You're getting the child to sleep.
You're getting the child to sleep. Well, and I always tell moms, you know, the fun thing about a summer party is that, you know, we get to have girlfriend time when the baby's down. We get to eat cupcakes, watch Real Housewives, you know, talk about things that you can't talk about because you only have been talking to a baby for the last 6 or 7 months. So you get to have real adult conversations with another woman, which is also an added bonus. So, yeah, I mean, it helps you get your life back, basically, because right now you're living in a fog of sleeplessness, and I help raise that fog and bring in the sunshine, the glitter tape, and all of the parade with me to help your family get a good night's sleep.
I mean, that is amazing. That's such a gift.
Yes. This is a gift. I'm like, so I'm so excited about this. Can I do it? You had me at a...
She's like, Nikki's like, come over. Of course, Nikki, I would love to come over.
She's got a new baby dog. She's got a new baby dog.
Yeah, people be running around like crazy little people. Me and you are going to hang.
We're going to hang. We're going to have some girl time. That's awesome.
Hey, Tomiko, this was like one of my favorite interviews, because I think this is like so necessary for moms to hear. You guys, you need to hear that sleep is essential. It's not an option. And it doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to, you know, make this harder on yourself than it needs to be. We are going to link everything up to the show notes for you guys for Tomiko's services. And I hope you guys will check her out. Are you on social media, Tomiko?
I am. My favorite place to hang out is Facebook. So you can go to facebook.com/IamTomiko and you can hang out with me and my other 12,000 friends there on Facebook. Great. We would love to have you.
Great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time and for joining us. Really, you have provided so much value to our listeners, and I know that they are going to just eat it up. I've learned a ton myself.
Yay. I'm super excited. You know, it's always an honor for me to come on and to speak to moms and just give them a reality check. I think we all sometimes just need to have somebody, a third party, come in and you know, and wake us the F up and be like, girl, listen, this is not how it's supposed to be. And so I'm happy to be that person for your people.
We're so thankful for you, girl. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you.